This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Solid today. I love that. Man, I love that. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you, if you have prayer requests or prayer needs, how many of you get prayer requests from different people for different things? Hey, will you pray? Hey, can you have your church pray? Raise your hands again. Okay. Now, you don't have to raise your hand on all of these, but I did want to hear it. How many of you get prayer requests from people you don't know? Or ask you to pray, maybe you're not getting it from them, but ask you to pray for people you don't know. You've never met. Hey, pray for this person, that person. You've never met them. Okay. How many of you think, I don't know how or what to pray for them when I get those sometimes? Hey, they want you to pray for them. What about? They didn't say. I don't know how to go about that. Well, we're hopefully going to answer some of those questions today. In 2 weeks, listen up. In 2 weeks, we're having a prayer night. It's on a Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. And here's what I'm asking. I'm asking for every one of you that is here today and everyone that is not here today, that's out sick or absent or just whatever, vacationing, to be here that night at 5 o'clock. It's important to come together and pray corporately, church. I'm asking you to give up an hour on a Sunday evening in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, I'm asking you to give up 1 hour. And I'm going to plead with you and say, we really need you here. I don't know what to do. That's okay. Be here corporately. It matters. Okay? And it matters when you're fighting the enemy. And it matters when you're praying for people that think nobody cares about me. It matters for you to be here. It's my only day off. Guess what the day is for me? It's my only day off every week. Okay? I don't care. I'm not saying that to go, oh, way to go, Adam. I'm just saying this is my only day off from my other job every week. And I'm here. Except when I'm vacationing or out sick. I'm here. Okay? Now, here's the difference. Not everyone has that same passion to be there, and I'm the pastor, and I get it. But I'm asking for you guys to make a commitment. We meet once a quarter for prayer night. Once every 3 months to give up an hour to come here. And I know when I say give up an hour, it may mean 2 or 3 hours getting things ready or whatever, but I'm just asking you to come that night. Corporately, when we gather together, God hears it differently. The enemy hears it differently and sees it differently. And we have to let the enemy know that we're here and we're together and we're in power over the enemy. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. We'll start there today. Colossians is after Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians. About 6, 7, 8 books into the New Testament. Colossians chapter 4. The other thing when we gather together for prayer, it helps us to push our pride or selfishness away, and it also allows us to humble ourselves. You know, oftentimes you'll hear Kisha as we begin service or we're in the middle of service, and she says, hey, you can come up and pray anytime you want. You can come up for prayer anytime you want. We have people that will pray over you. You can pray for yourself, whatever you desire. That isn't to humiliate anyone. That isn't to point out anyone. They've got a problem here. It's never that. By the way, does anyone in here have problems? Okay. We all have problems of various natures. They don't have to be major. First, say, God, I want you to help me with this. You know, whatever it is. Okay, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 5. And it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it, With what? With thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. So here Paul is writing, and he's instructing the church. He says, hey, continue praying for one another. And by the way, any one of you that want to pray for me at any time, for anything, I welcome it. Thank you. But Paul says, pray, continue to pray, be vigilant about this. By the way, do it with thanksgiving. Then as a leader, he does the unthinkable. He says, pray for me too. He says, pray for me and my co-workers in the ministry. Pray for us. Man, there's nothing wrong with that. Pray for us. Years ago, I sat down around the middle here, probably about where you're sitting. And I remember Pastor Jack said, if you want prayer to grow in your knowledge of Christ or grow in your relationship with Christ, come forward. I got up and I came forward. I thought, no matter where we are, that's a great prayer. God, I want to know more about you, and I want to be closer to you, and I want to be more Christ-like. It doesn't matter who and what we are. It doesn't matter what our position is. It doesn't matter what our education is, what our job is, what our finances are. Man, we can always come forward for prayer. That isn't a guilt thing. Last week we talked about, man, testify or falsify. I don't want anyone proudly walking up going, I'm getting prayer. Look at me go. No, not for that. He says, man, just humble yourself and come before me. But Paul's saying, man, continue to pray for one another. By the way, pray for us in our ministry. Let me ask you a question. If we pray and are connected to God, do we still need others to pray for us? See a lot of heads going up and down. Absolutely. Yes, we do. It doesn't matter who and what we are. Let me ask you a question. Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists. Do you think he had people praying for him? Hang on, I've got another question. And it doesn't come until the next page. Okay, great. I'll ask that in a minute. In 1 Thessalonians. Oh, you don't have to go there, but 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5:25 and 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Paul continues to ask for prayer from the church in Thessalonica. And he says, pray for us. He continues at the next church, pray for us. Pray that God will open the door for us. Pray that God will give us boldness to speak the gospel. Pray that the opposition is silenced. Anyone have opposition in their life? Man, pray for the opposition to be silenced. And when we come together corporately, that's one thing that it does. The enemy says, uh-oh. There's a group of them praying. And they're praying against us. Next thing we know, who knows, maybe they'll be building a wall around here and fortifying the place. Maybe they'll be doing a march around this place. Maybe they're small, but maybe they're like Gideon and his army. Ooh, they may defeat us. And the enemy hears that. He simply said, pray for us. Give me boldness in speaking the gospel. Open the doors that people would hear and receive that and silence the opposition, God. Then Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Here's yet another young man. He says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. here we've got another person that's asking for prayers. And he says, be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And in verse 3 he says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Timothy says, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for one another. And then he's praying over all men and kings and all those in authority. He says, God has a desire. Here's my question. Does it do any good to pray for those that we don't know? Yes. Back to Billy Graham. Before he did his events in different towns, he would have groups there getting together. And he asked for people to pray. And they prayed over those people. And they prayed over those cities. And they prayed for people they have never met. And prayed, God, please open a door for them to come to know you. Does it do any good for us to pray for those we don't know? Absolutely. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We have to pray for those we don't know. That could be a stranger sitting in the front row right here. It could be for people, you know, we prayed at Falls Creek that our young people would be drawn closer to God, that if they didn't know Him, they would know Him. But we also prayed, God, for all of those thousands of teenagers throughout the summer that go down there each year, God, that You would speak to them and You would draw them to You. We don't know them. I've got a card in my desk drawer in the office there for a young man I'd never met before. And I prayed over him. And he came to accept Christ. And I continue to pray over that young man. Haven't talked to him since. He lives in another town far away. But I've called and left messages on the phone number I have. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Does it do any good for me to pray for those I don't know? Yes. What if I don't know their situation? God knows their need, even when we don't. We may hear a request for something, and sometimes we want specifics to help us pray better. Sometimes we want specifics to help us get into their situation a little better. The first is okay. The second is not. If you just want to know how better to pray, that's one thing. But if they don't want to do that, a lot of times, hey, I just need you to pray for so-and-so. It's an unspoken request. Okay. So James chapter 5. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5. And I hope you understand that prayer is important. That's why we're talking about a night of prayer. That's why we're talking over prayer. I've had prayer requests before that said, please pray that our team wins. Man, I don't know how to approach that exactly. Have you worked hard for that? Or you just, you know, God, please pray that I pass this test. Have you worked hard to pass it? Or is it the Hail Mary? We haven't practiced. We don't know what we're doing. We're just throwing the ball and hope our team catches it and makes a touchdown. Man, I'm just hoping I do my rhythm right on the checkbox as I pass that test with a passing grade. I think it's the same with us, although I'm not sure. Does God say, hey, you haven't studied, you haven't practiced? Why should I bless you with this request you're putting in front of me? Well, that's why He's God and we're not. Because we'd say, forget it. We'd be down there going, okay, you're hanging on the cross. You're next to Jesus. He's a Savior of the world, by the way. Wait, you want Him to remember you in paradise tonight? Forget it, you thief. That's what we tell them. Jesus had a different response to that thief on the cross. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 17. And we've read this before, but it's important as we tie these together. And anytime I teach on prayer, by the way, I don't ever mean to make it seem like it's a simple thing, but sometimes it's so simple. Talk to God, ask Him His will. Stop, listen to Him, give thanksgiving. So in a sense it is. But in a sense it's not, because we also have further responsibilities when we come before Him. And there's tons of verses over prayer. How to pray, when, where, all those different things. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 17. And it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. If you're suffering, church, pray. If you need to, get down on your knees and pray. God, I've prayed before, but now I'm pleading with you, God. He may say something back to you, listen, like, what have you been doing? I love this. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Man, are we singing psalms to him? Man, I'm cheerful, I'm happy, I'm thankful, I'm blessed. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Again, it sounds like God is in the midst of that, because man may say, I don't forgive you, I can't forgive you, I won't forgive you. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. I love that. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I'm going to stop right there. Well, I'm going to hit verse 18. I'm going to leave out 17. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced fruit. When I was talking earlier during worship, and I said, God hasn't answered your prayer yet. Or maybe he answered it just with a different answer than you desired. But it goes back to the test, or the football game, or the sport, or whatever. Have you practiced to win the game? Or you just think, God, help our lousy team win. We aren't practicing. And I want our team to win. And I want us to practice. What does that mean? Every now and then we have this practice. We have Wednesday night practice. And every now and then, once a quarter, 2 weeks from now, Sunday evening at 5 p.m., we're going to have another special practice for the team. And it gives us opportunity to get better, to pray for one another. My wife has something that she tells people every now and then. Oh, I hope I don't get in trouble for this. I usually try and get permission beforehand, but I didn't. But sometimes people say, I didn't want to come today. She said, man, it may not be for you. Your presence here may be blessing somebody else. And it may be for you. It may be to show you strength when you feel weak. I don't feel like being here. We have to practice. We have to study for the test. We have to have some of the answers or some knowledge of what we think the answer might be. Now, when we're talking biblical things, you want to be careful. I mean, if I have an idea, I'm not a doctor, but if I have an idea what might help you, I better be careful how far I'm diagnosing. Oh, I think if you take such and such, it'll make you better. Be careful. Sometimes such and such will be something to kill somebody. So you got to be careful where you're giving advice. Spiritual advice is the same thing. If it is not accurate and biblical, it can be deadly. When James is talking here, he asks, if you're suffering, pray. Church, sometimes we got to pray for ourselves. Okay, the first thing we do is ask everyone else to pray for us. And I've said this before. We have to still pray for ourselves. But it also says, call on the elders if you're sick. Let them pray for you. I didn't put this in my message, but I'm reminded of Galatians. And it says in Galatians 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In Galatians 6, 5, it says, for each one shall bear his own load. You see, we have the things that we need to carry ourselves. Pray for yourself. And then we have the things that are burdens, that are bigger than us to carry. If you are sick, that's a burden. Call on the elders of the church to pray over you. We have responsibilities to ourselves, and then we have responsibility to others. We should be praying for one another here. We don't have to know their name. We don't have to know their issue. The question, man, does it do any good to pray for those we don't know? Yes. Does it do any good to pray for the situations I don't know? Yes. Why? Because God knows the answer. God knows the situation, and He's got His answer. And when I don't know what to pray, and, you know, I always try and pray for the prayer requests that come forward. Please pray that our team wins. God, I pray that your will be done in this situation. And I don't want that to be the cop-out prayer. I mean, it's a little more intense than that or deeper than that for me. I don't just, God, let your will be done in the game. Okay, I'm done. But what is the prayer request and how's it coming? You know, what's the motive behind it? Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say this is our football team. These are the three people that have worked hard. They know the plays. They have skills and abilities. And they're trying diligently to carry the team. Is it fair for them to carry the team when the rest of this group... I'm not saying you guys aren't trying. I'm just using this as an example. Is it fair for them to try and carry the team when the rest of the team isn't trying hard? They're not practicing. They're not paying attention. They're not learning the drills. They're not learning the plays. Do they still need to give 100%? Absolutely. Because each one of us in here, when we meet God, guess what He's going to judge us on? Our actions. Our life. Our history. Not, hey, I saw when you were on the losing team. We're all being judged by God and standing before Him with our life. That's what gets us into heaven, our choice. And He looks at our life. And He doesn't say, well, you guys were on the winning team thanks to these three people. Okay, and they did it. but they still need to give 100%. And I say, just forget it. I'm on a losing team. I'm just going to ride this one out, or worse yet, I'm going to quit. Nobody else is trying. I'm going to quit. Sometimes we need that stand-up person that says, I'm going to lead this charge. Oh, my goodness, the Bible is full of people like that. I'm going to go rebuild the wall. Thank you, Nehemiah. Yeah, I'll face that giant. Let me go get some stones. Give me just a little bit. Someone that says, I'm going to take the lead here. On our night of prayer, I think it's important. That's why I ask you guys to be here. Church, I don't ask much of you. But I'm asking you to be here that night. To show your commitment to the church, yeah. To show your commitment to God, yeah. To show your commitment to one another, yeah. To show your commitment to pray, yeah. It's all of those. It's bits and pieces of all of it. But it's important to gather together. As a community, it's important that we rally together. As a community, it's important that we rally together as a community of believers. To do what? To give thanks. To pray for ourselves. To pray over each other. And to, yeah, pray for those we don't know. For situations we don't know. For those people that don't know God. When I see you all praying over one another, or someone in the church praying over you, it blesses me. When you pray over Pastor Eric and I, it blesses me. I love seeing the body be there for one another. For a variety of reasons. You know, our church surrounded Dale and Beta recently. A couple weeks from now, there's Josh back there in the sound booth. Nikki's down there. And we're going to support them in their wedding. It's a body of believers. We come for different reasons, but we come together as a community. But more importantly, a community of believers. To give thanks, to pray for ourselves, to pray for others, to pray for those we don't know, to pray for those that don't know God. I'm asking to please make plans to attend and be intentional to put it on your calendar in 2 weeks. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you just for who and what you are, but God, we thank you for hearing our request. God, for hearing or for knowing our needs. God, we thank you for our ability to approach you because of the price your son paid on the cross, that we can approach you directly. God, I pray today that just like Paul and Timothy prayed, that people will say, pray for me. Pray for me individually. Pray for us and the family. God, today I pray that chains are broken. Chains that hold us down. Chains of intimidation or fear. But God, chains are broken today. That we see the remnants left behind of those chains. God, that we have boldness to speak against the enemy, to speak the gospel, whatever it is, God, that you give us boldness to speak. And protection from the enemy. God, I pray right now that you are preparing this church body for a change. A change in 2 weeks on our night of prayer. God, that we are changed, we are moved, and we are no longer the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand and worship with us and declare this today as we sing.